You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake, anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the Adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
This message is brought to you by Regeneron. If you have diabetes, listen closely, because your ears could help your eyes. Excess sugar from diabetes could lead to eye damage and vision loss, or even blindness, and you might not even notice it at first. So remember, now is the time to get your eyes checked. Eye care is especially important with diabetes. See a path forward with actions and potential treatment options that may help your eyes and protect against vision loss. Go see an eye care specialist and visit nowic.com to take charge of your sight.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery. Additional support provided by Deer Camp Coffee and Yeti Coolers.
Welcome to the Border Planet Podcast. This is the scary episode.
I'm totally using that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast. You have myself, James Nopum, with, I think that's Dave Thomas. He's not very good at his job. And Tim Mazzarana, who's inappropriate pretty much all the time. And today what are we going to talk about? I think we're going to talk about archery hunt camps.
Yeah, man.
Since it was Tim's idea, he's going to go ahead and start first.
I wanted to just kind of do a quick rundown of like necessities first, but then kind of build off and like what our wants would be, right? So for me, a hunt camp necessity is a working shower.
Necessity. Okay, you know what? I like that idea, Tim, but take us through it like you're reading a book, like a movie. Like, just take us into the imagination of what it would be like at your hunt camp.
Can you give
me an example of what you're looking at, and this is what happens.
Can you give me an example of what you're
Sure, I go first.
Yeah,
you don't
sure,
want to go.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So, guys,
video game screens everywhere. Next,
what a hunt camp is to me. So I walk in. Now, first I drive there, and it takes a long time, like maybe 5-6 hours. Then I get out of my big old 250 type truck, like a big 2500 HD type truck, and I'm pulling some sort of sick machine, like a four-wheeler, something fun to play with. Then I walk over, and the sweet, sensational smells of a smoker, a Camp Chef smoker, are coming in to my nostrils. I smell this overwhelming flavor of chicken and steak and all these great things and lobster. And then I look around, and there's like this beautiful house. So big. I mean, just so big. And it's all log cabin. And I go inside. I look around. It's a lot of room, a lot of space. And there's a thing. It says Dave Thomas. It's like a locker system. And I go over, there's like 6 lockers, and they're all just for me. No one else needs anything. So the first locker, I put my lightweight clothing. Second locker, my midweight. Third locker, my heavy. And the other stuff, I just throw like all my accessories and all that stuff in there. My boots, I have a set of boots for everything. Camera area to put all my cameras. And anyway, so the food is served like at a restaurant. And you can order stuff, and we all sit down, and we can just enjoy this fantastic moment of just eating steaks and not having to actually even get up to get our own drinks and all that. Just be great. Then we play some euchre and maybe do some fun podcasting just for fun. Then after that, and we're ready to rock, we get out, we do some four wheeling, just tear up the back roads. And okay, and then the next day we go hunting, and then we have some sweet like shadow blind hunters, you know, in there. We're gonna sit in those warm, comfy things, gonna put our feet up, and our bow's already in there for us. Someone put them out for us, so we didn't have to carry them to the stand.
I honestly didn't think you were gonna take it this far. I really didn't.
Oh, I'm still going. I ain't done. So then, like, you know, this is now, I will take this from my Texas hunt. So you like shoot the deer or shoot whatever, and then you're done. Like the guy goes and guts it, gets it, pulls it to the front of the house. So something like honestly, like going to an outfitter would be like a dream hunt, to be honest, because the food's cooked for you. I mean, they don't necessarily serve you, but the food's cooked for you. The bed's done for you. Everything's clean. They take care of the animal. I mean, it's really relaxing, and you can actually enjoy yourself. So I guess I'll end it on shoot a big buck. Someone, you know, takes it up for you and cleans it and lows in your car.
Love it. Want to hear mine?
All right, but it better be good. You need more time. You want an open boom? Because we got to know his open
boom. Yeah. No, that's a great idea, Dave. Let's go with an open boom.
Make sure you use a bunch of adjectives.
We're going to do like an ad lib thing.
It's got to be a story. It's got to be like telling a story.
So we're going to go to the property last, but the building itself, you drive in from the road, right? And you're driving in from the road on a two track.
I can see it.
And the two track goes back, I don't know, maybe let's say a quarter mile before you get to the camp, right? So you got some hunting property in the front, and in the middle of the property, there's a pond. Right, nice little fishing pond with a river that feeds it. And right next to the pond sits this big, huge 60 by 100 foot pole barn, right? But the pole barn isn't just a pole barn. The pole barn is half lodge, half pole barn. So you walk in the pole barn, big, huge doors with a little entry door on the side just for going in and out. And you walk in the big, huge pole barn, right? And it's just wide open for the first 80 feet or so, 40, 60 feet, right? Just
that sounds like the hangar, no problem.
A place, yeah, a little bit like the hangar.
Is there any razor blades in here?
A little bit like the hangar. So you have room to park all your toys. You know, we got some UTVs sitting on the side. We got a camper sitting over there if we want to go out and camp for the night on the property, whatever. But the back half. So imagine after 60 feet, it stops and you look at it and it looks like the outside of a house. So you have an indoor outdoor house, right? So the bottom is like your living stuff. You got your kitchen, you got your shower, you got your dining room, you got a nice little table for cards and all that kind of stuff. Nothing crazy, nice little couch, you know, that kind of thing. But there's a staircase that goes upstairs, and upstairs is like one big loft. Right. And on the loft, you got a nice little balcony. You can put your equipment on. You can look over the rail. You can see the rest of the pole barn. But then the upstairs is split up into four different bedrooms, all with either bunk beds or queen beds or whatever, so that you could have four different rooms, one for snores, maybe one for ladies, one for kids, so on and so forth. But that's the inside of it. And then on that balcony, for the top of the loft, there's a spiral staircase that goes up to the roof where you have a lookout where you can see all over the property. That would be my dream hunt camp. Now, kitchen wise, right? So you have the indoor kitchen. My dream hunt camp would be to have a covered outdoor kitchen. So imagine off the side the carport, and underneath that carport, you got a pizza oven, you got a smoker, you got a griddle, you got a sink, you got a little mini fridge, just all decked out, ready to go. So that is my dream property. Now, that could probably sit on, you know, minimum of 10 acres, and I'd be good. But that's my dream property. Dream hunt camp. Jamie?
Well, I'm starting with the property, because if I'm hunting with you clowns, I need at least 1,000 acres. All right, and we each get 250 acres to work the way we want it. right? Oh, God. Oh, God. I think that'd be pretty cool. I like the pole barn idea, though. But my pole barn would have all that stuff, and we'd have all the tools and all the, and, you know, UTVs, all the stuff in there, but we'd have a bar in there.
There you go.
A nice bar that was sectioned off, and it was just designated only TVs, couches, all that stuff in there.
Old-fashioned.
But I like the idea. You know, remember I went to the Strother Hunt Camp, right? The way that that lodge was set up would be perfect. There's just like a bunch. It was like a big U shape, but there was a bunch of like hotel rooms almost inside that lodge. So everybody's got their own space. You had a little area for your hunting stuff, maybe. Then you got the kitchen, and you got like a big area to hang out and all that stuff. So I think that's what I'm liking.
I like it, man. I like it. You know, I think a big thing to me when it comes to hunt camp is the cooking equipment, right? You gotta be able to eat well at hunt camp. You gotta be able to make some good grub, especially if you got a group of guys going with you. So for me, you know, that outdoor kitchen with the smoker and the grill and the pizza oven and all that stuff is a definite necessity for my dream hunt camp. I would love to, one of the things I forgot, I would love to have an area right out front, maybe next to the carport area, where you got a nice little bonfire pit with some really comfortable seating where you can also just sit around at the end of the night, you know, have a couple drinks outside if it's nice out and just sit by a bonfire. I think that's the way I would do it.
Not too shabby.
I think like, I'll just go into the story of mine again, like, just more of the story, like,
yeah.
So I get creepy. There. I get, because I forgot a lot of really good important aspects. So I get there, we all kind of pulling together. We get there, get all of our gear put in those nice lockers. We're all set. We're sitting down, getting drinks served to us, or just relaxing. And all of a sudden, there's this knock on the door. We look up, and it's Luke Bryan. He's got two bottles of Grey Goose. He's like, "Let's go, boys! Let's do this." And we're like, yeah, yeah. And then like all these random people show up, like Ted Nugent and all these random people, and they're just there to hang out and tell stories. This is the best thing ever. And that's it. We'll just leave it at that. But
that's cool, man. All right. So I think what I want to do this year is I think I want to start a new tradition of, and maybe we could do it with turkey when we go and kick it off there. But I want to start doing crab legs at hunt camp. Just throwing them on the grill for a couple minutes, sitting down and having a nice little crab leg dinner, man. I've had it twice now in the last 2 weeks, and I forgot how much I love crab. I did it for my dad and brother's birthday 2 weeks ago.
How'd you make it?
On my smoker. And then my in-laws actually did it for us the following weekend. And, man, good crab, you can't beat it. What's that?
How'd you make it?
I usually throw mine right in the microwave. It's pretty
good. So how I make it is it comes frozen, right?
Yep.
So I put the grill at 300 degrees, let it warm up, get the grill nice and hot. Smoker, yeah. But at that temperature, you're not getting a lot of smoke, right? Because a lot of it's just burning off because you're running it at 300 degrees.
Yeah.
So get it up to 300 degrees. On this one, I put 11 pounds of crab on. So I had 11 pounds of crab going. Okay. And what I do is as soon as I put it on, I off to the side, which I already pre-made, I have a mixture of butter and Old Bay. So melted butter and Old Bay. And I stir that up, take a basting brush, baste the crap out of them, let them go for about 5 to 7 minutes, flip them all, baste them again, let them go for another 5 to 7 minutes, and then pull them off. And what's awesome about it is that it's crab, but because of that Old Bay on the outside, when you start cracking that open and you're using your hands, right, to open all this stuff up, that Old Bay works itself in there and onto the meat. And it's so freaking delicious, dude. Just absolutely amazing.
I can't wait to get to Florida. I'm going to eat all the seafood.
Yeah. I'm a big seafood fish fan, tacos. Man. The only thing I don't like are like mussels and oysters. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of.
I like cooked oysters are good.
I'll do the Rockefeller
stuff on them, man.
You know, and you're right. I had cooked mussels in Scotland, fresh off the beach or wherever we were at, and those are actually pretty good. They did them in just water, and then they had some butter and garlic, and that was okay. Still not my favorite. I'd rather have crab, but I love that stuff. If you guys were to choose, would you choose crab or lobster?
Crab.
Yeah. I'm the same.
I like lobster, but crab's better, in my opinion. Like you're saying, Tim, when I get going on crab, it's the best.
Yeah. So. Dude, my in-laws, when they bought us these crab legs, the crab leg was that thick around. Like one leg was a whole pound. And so you pull it out and you got a tube of crab meat that's literally like 6 inches long and about 2 inches thick. That thing was freaking amazing.
What's pretty cool about the king crabs like that is that you, like when you're getting them, they're actually got by the guys that do Deadliest Catch. Like literally, those are the people, like that's where it came from.
Yeah,
like
no
there's
doubt.
Not that many people. There's maybe, compared to the show, there's probably another 15 boats, but either way, you know, it's one of those boats got that crab leg for you. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. That's really, but it can be expensive, right? I mean, they run $30 to $50 a pound, but shoot, man, it's to me. And I'll be honest, I did the 11 pounds, I could only find 3 pounds of king and the rest I did snow crab. I actually liked for the size that we had, because the king that I had were a little bit smaller. I liked the snow crab over the king crab all day.
It's cheaper too.
But those big ones, the big ones that we had, because you could pull them out in such huge chunks, I would take that all day long. And she got, where did they get? They got it at a market not far from you. Andrea's Market Seafood. There's one on Gratiot down by our old neighborhood, but they have another location out by you. You should check them out.
Interesting. Yeah, that sounds good. I usually get them at Costco when I'm there. That's why I usually just grab them.
Yeah, I went there and they got rid of the crab counter at my Costco. So they didn't have the crab counter where you can go up and order it by pound, because I only wanted like 6 pounds.
I don't have that either. Yeah.
You had to buy it by the box. And I'm like,
I didn't get the king crab.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The king crab, they had 10-pound boxes. They wanted $28.99 a pound. So it was $290. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, I love my dad, but not $280
worth. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So anyway, I don't know. What do you guys think? New tradition? Do some crab legs at hunt camp this year?
Hey, I got the what do you call it? It's made for that.
The Instapot?
Kind of like that, but it's, I forgot the name of it. It's the can cooker, the big one.
Yeah, the can cooker. Yeah.
It's made for like the legs. It's huge. It's like real tall, and you put them in. We used it. I went on the lake house and we used it there to do the legs. It was really
I cool. think that'd be really good for like
you do a boil
crawfish.
You could put shrimp and corn and potatoes in there.
Yeah,
I'll do the leg. I think we should do the crab legs like one day and then the next day do like a broil type thing, because I think it'd be fun to do like both of them, because that's something rare you don't get. Like having you do gumbo.
Our horizons, right? I think that's my point, is we need to expand our horizons with cooking at hunt camp. And I know it's tough sometimes.
You don't like Easy Mac?
No, honestly, Jamie, I don't mind easy kidding. Meals. Don't get me wrong. It's not that. It's just there's something about like a good group of guys eating good food around a table, just chilling. And it's hard sometimes because we have such a small group. And when we shoot something, we got to go out and find it, right?
It's the time, though. Yeah, you need time to cook it. And we by the time you get in from a hunt, it's usually like 7 or 8, you know. So, but anyway, either way, I am down. This year, I'm going to make thieves stew for sure one day. It's amazing. And it's all crock pot. I put it all together in the morning, and by the time dinner comes, we're eating like kings. So that is really good. And then we should do the fish stuff. And then... but yeah, I mean, you got that Blackstone, Tim, like that flat cooker. I mean, that's easy to cook tons of great stuff. You can do steak searing on there and smoke.
Yeah, if Camp Chef comes through with us.
If Camp Chef comes through, her money, because we'll get some smokers. We could take a portable smoker, portable pizza maker. They got that. They got the crab leg big things we were talking about.
Yep. So that'll be really good.
That'd be sweet. So yeah, man, it's been interesting, guys. I think that, you know, it's an interesting year, and I've had more conversations with companies this year than we've ever had. I just talked to Lone Wolf Tree Stands today. They're very interested in working with us. Camp Chef. I mean, it's crazy. It's just
experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the Adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
It's one of those years where everybody's looking for... It's not, I understand it, though. Everybody's looking for, you know, the next thing in archery and bow hunting and hunting. And to be honest with you, Bowhunter Planet's doing really well. I mean, we are at the forefront of this stuff. We've been doing all these videos. We got great content. Our Instagram's on fire. I mean, it's people look to us now for all these things. So it's been very easy, I think, in that sense, to get companies on board. But the truth is, it's not like we're just saying, hey, give us your money and see you later. We really work with companies a lot, and we do a lot of work. And so it's not like you just sponsor something and you walk away. Like you just like a magazine, you don't just pay for an ad.
Yeah.
And leave like Dead Down Wind and Tinks, right? They're gonna give us the product. We're gonna use the product, which we use that stuff anyway, to be honest. So this is a win-win for us and those guys. But like a Camp Chef, you know, we're not only are we gonna get a grill and do stuff with it, but we're gonna actually film that stuff and use little mini clips on this show and all of our other shows. So it's a lot of fun, and I think it's fun to combine what we do with just the outdoor industry, right? Like grilling and RVing and camping and biking with like a Swagtron, right? We kind of intertwine that, and it's starting to become more of an outdoor feeling. And I really like that. You know, I don't want to just focus on bows all the time. I want to focus on what gets us outdoors, you know, whether it's a bow, a gun, whatever, it's fine. But you know, we need to have that focus.
I agree, man. I love, because it's not just about the hunting, right? Because that isn't why we do it. Part of the reason why we do it is because of you guys and hanging out and going to hunt camp and enjoying those outdoor experiences. Most of the time, I mean, a lot. Well, I can't say most of the time, but there's a lot of time that we spend out in the field where we're not hunting, right? We're putting up stands and putting up equipment and cooking food and all that kind of. There's two halves to every side of when you're going to hunt camp, and I think it's great that we can share all of it, you know?
Yeah. Some of the things I enjoy the most, to be honest, you know, with you guys and when we go up north, I love turkey season, because it's so laxed and relaxed. You can have a cigar while you're sitting in the ground blind. It's not a big deal. But what I really enjoy besides that is, like, I really like that first initial work weekend type thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we sit there on the runway and we just like watch for deer with our burris. We just sit there.
We just watch monster bucks and then they never come back around.
It's a warm feeling, right? You feel this warm sensation because it's warm out, like the air and stuff. And it feels amazing just sitting there with the breeze. But not just that, you're looking, you're actually seeing a big buck. It's so exciting to me. Like, yeah, you're not hunting it, but like you're seeing it. And it's like a huge buck. And you're like sitting there going, oh my God, look at it, guys. And you know, we're just going back and forth. And that's just so fun to me. And I know we're not going to hunt it, but there's no pressure on me either at that point. Right now. Right. I'm like,
I think that's it.
Camera. Let's cook some food up while we're waiting, you know, have some beers. And it's just so fun. You know, there's so much.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Is like for hunt weekends, it's a lot like during the week, you know, work hard, play hard. You know what I mean? There's no pressure after that. Once you're done working, you can play. With hunting, like you, it's more than that, because it's like when you're done hunting and you come back and you do your food and all that kind of stuff, you're already thinking about the next hunt. What am I going to do? Am I going to do anything different? You know, all that kind of stuff. So I feel like there's a lot more pressure during hunting season. You don't get that chance to really relax as much.
No. Yeah. You're like, I gotta get geared up, go back out.
Yep. Got to go to bed at a certain time so I can be up tomorrow. I don't, you know, no hangovers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, one of the things I think that, I don't know if people realize this or know this about us, but, you know, we've done a really good job actually over the past few years of pulling back from the hunting show portion of the business. So we don't really, we film our hunts and stuff, but it's not like what it used to be. Like at one point, hunting shows were very important for us, and we put a lot of funding behind those and sponsors, but we've moved from that. We've put all that into podcasting and test lab, and BHP roundtable, things like that, you know, in the scary stories, the segments, like all that now holds all of that work and what we owe companies. Whereas the hunting, we don't. So it's actually genius, because now we actually can try to enjoy ourselves when we hunt and not have so much pressure on us to film something. So like,
or shoot something. Yeah.
Or shoot something. Yeah. So we could take away that aspect. Sure. There's still work to do while we're at hunt camp, things that we could work on, like, you know, ballistics gel shots and things like that, which we do. But it's nice to take away that pressure and focus on us and actually using the gear without worrying about a camera behind us or, you know, someone filming it. And, you know, turkey's fun though, because you can sit together and joke around. That's different to me. Like, yeah. I'll film a turkey hunt all day, but I don't want to, like, during deer season, to have like anybody sit with me is not as fun, because you can't talk, you're all dead quiet, and you know, you don't want to mess up something for that guy. And you know,
no, you're absolutely right. I think I like buddy hunting with deer sometimes, but a lot of the times, like when you're doing it with kind of an expectation that you're not going to really see anything. You know, you're kind of just going to hang out, you know, a little bit, because yeah, what's the point of doing it? No, and I do take that back. I mean, there are times where you are. I mean, when Brian and I sat together a couple years ago in my spot on the 20, that was cool, man. Like, we didn't really talk. We were just kind of looking around. You'd whisper here and there and that kind of thing. But it was kind of cool to hang out with him a little bit. So I think there's moments for that type of stuff, and I do like doing it. But I think you approach it as, you know, if I don't see anything, it's cool. I kind of approach it like I do with a youth hunt, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if we see something, great. If we don't, you know, at least we were out there and we got to sit out in nature.
Yeah. 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 I enjoy it. I think I've done some buddy hunts, especially during, like, you know, the ranch stuff we've had to do over the years, and also the outfitters. You know, because a lot of those, you have to film them. There's a whole point of being there. But those, me and Ron had a lot of fun sitting together for the most part when we did it. And, you know, honestly, I actually kind of preferred filming, which is what I did, you know, let him hunt, because I knew he would make the shot, number one. I was really more excited about not having the pressure on me in that scenario. Even though I would love to shoot a big buck, I was like, you know what? I'll just film you. And if you get one, then you could film me, but I'll let you go first, because then there's no pressure. I mean, I can just sit there with the camera as long as I don't make some loud jerky noise or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was he'd probably deal. Throw you out of the stand.
He would throw you out of the stand. You'd be goner. One of the funniest moments, I'll never forget it. I was sitting with Ron, and we were in Ohio. We were hunting. And the stand was straight up, and they went off on each side of the tree. So if the tree's right here, there was a stand on both sides back to back. So we would sit facing like this, but completely opposite sides. So you had to stand up and kind of lean over the tree to talk. And it was really cold, and we're sitting there, and I felt very unsafe because the stand was like a little bit tilted forward. And so when you're sitting in it, you're like leaned forward, and it just didn't feel right. You just felt like, oh, I'm going to slide off, or, you know. And so anyway, we're standing talking after, like, this must be 9 o'clock in the morning. And Ron set his glove on my seat. I don't know why. He set it on my seat when he was talking to me, because he was holding something for me or something. And then I accidentally hit his glove and it fell to the ground. we just looked down at it and we're like, oh man. And he was like, oh my God, because it was so cold.
Yeah, you need the gloves. Oh,
we can't do anything, right? So he's just like, puts his hand there. It was just the weirdest moment, because like, it was like it happened in slow motion. Like, we hit it And you see it, and we both look like this as it's going straight down. And it hits the ground. We're like,
oh, that's funny.
At the same time. And we're like, no. And he was so cold. It was so cold. We hunted so hard there. I never hunted that hard in my life. And I felt like I had to because it was like, oh, I got to get to hunt this great spot. And if I don't hunt every day, I mean, we literally hunted. At some points, we never came in. 2 or 3 days, we stayed out the whole day, which was, you know, I'm like literally with the weakest hunter you guys have ever met. So like that was really hard for me. Like that was intense, especially in those little tree stands. You know, it's not like you're on the ground in a ground blind moving around. I saw 60, 70 deer. Like I'd sit like this, dude. No joke. I'm not even kidding. Every 3 minutes, there'd be a deer or two walk from my left all the way down, like, you know, and off and out. Like it would literally every 2-3 minutes, there'd be another deer like this, just constantly.
I've never done an all day sit myself. I don't think we didn't do that for a gun, did we, Jamie, this year? I think I would.
I mean, it all depends on the weather on whether or not I'm doing it, you know. But if it hits 11, 12 o'clock and I don't see nothing, I ain't staying out there.
An all day sit to me in Michigan would have to be like Jamie's spot that he put up at the end of the year there in the back. Like to me, that could work. Cause that's in the woods and like at any point deer could walk through there.
Yeah.
Again, it's always a guess and hit or miss, right? There's no guarantee to anything in hunting. So like, to me, that's a good spot. Tim, your spot, I think actually is a pretty good spot for all day. Cause you don't know what the hell's going to hit that corner.
Yeah. I just feel, I think here's the problem with all day sits with bow season is that when you're doing it early in the season, the days are longer. Right. As you get closer to know, you're losing 3 minutes of light every day. And then you have the time change that happens in like, I forget when, November, somewhere around that area, November. End of October. And so your days get a lot shorter. So where an all day sit for us in the beginning of hunting season would be from like 7:30 to 7:30 or 8:00. You're now talking about, you know, from 7 to 3:00. Or 7 to 3:30 or 4:00 somewhere in that area. So I think it's a lot easier to do it later in the season because you're spending actually less time out there anyway.
Yeah. Makes sense. Did you guys see that they put a proposal through to get rid of daylight savings time in Michigan?
I hope so.
They've been doing that for years, man. I hope they do too. True.
I'd be happy just to pick one or the other and be done with it. You know?
Yeah. I hate when the time change happens.
It's like old,
I don't care. And in all honesty, I don't care if it doesn't get bright out until 9 o'clock for a month or two out of the year. That's fine.
Well, none of us care. I think it was for the people work outside and the kids going to school, right? That was the newer reasons why.
The newer reason. Yeah. I think the original reason was the war, right? It was they wanted to have more daylight time during like the daytime to fight wars back all the way in like World War I, World War II, something like that.
Just like Congress, right? When they have August off, so people used to tend to their crops, and we're still keeping that around for some reason.
Oh, is that what it was for?
I think so.
Well, that's why we have summer breaks.
Yeah.
Summer breaks originally started so that the kids could help out around the farm during the summertime.
Ah.
Yeah, I actually lived through that. It was a good time. Especially being allergic to hay and busting out in hives and couldn't breathe. And then if you know my dad, you know his reaction was.
I would love to have seen this. Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Nothing wrong with you. Keep going.
Keep moving, you pansy.
Suck it up, man. Suck it up.
I mean, I guess in his defense.
What are you going to do?
I didn't die.
He's not
going
to kill you. I'm not going to kill you.
But we didn't know what Benadryl was, apparently.
Made you stronger.
Just a little Benadryl probably would have helped this guy.
That explains a lot about you, actually.
I know.
What did you get diagnosed with this week?
Huh?
What did you get diagnosed with this week? You got another...
I can't say. Fake out.
Oh, that's, you're so talking funny. About the gonorrhea?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Dude, Nobu, did you get your stomach under control?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember when we were going to that bear camp, you had to stop every 5 minutes of poop.
Now you're just making stuff up.
No, it was something like that. You had like diarrhea the whole time.
I had diarrhea. I think what you're remembering is that if I'm hunting for 10 hours, yes, I took Imodium every time I went out before
that's
I went to the bear
stand. There's something about that.
Yeah. I ain't trying to get down and go in the middle of the
woods. So you didn't have to get down and go?
Yeah. You gotta be prepared, man.
That's like the opposite of what wrestlers do. You know, they'll drink the opposite stuff so they can lose weight before weighing.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh man, that's awesome. Well, that's Dream Hunt Camp, man.
It's exciting. Like, I'm excited for parts of Dream Hunt Camp to happen this year if we can make it happen, especially with the food part. That sounds a lot of fun. We can go to do a Costco run. We could get some nice big old steaks, like ribeyes, and then we could also, you know, find some crab legs wherever.
Well, I think we might be good for turkey season, but we might lose our spot for gun season or for bow season, for deer season. So,
yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not
too worried. We can cook in my mom's kitchen. You just got to feed more people.
Well, actually, you know what? What Dave and I were maybe talking about, and we haven't finalized anything. If Camp Chef kind of comes through, what would be kind of cool is if we had the enclosed trailer set up with all the kitchen equipment, so we could roll it out and roll it in.
Oh, I thought you were you're gonna cook in there.
No, not necessarily cook in there, but like you could keep everything in there, and then if you want to grill, you just roll it out.
Here's what we got to figure out is that we're gonna have to put everything in that trailer.
That's in that at first, hangar. Until we figure out what we're gonna do.
I think listen, if Jamie, you and I take over the trailer, we can get it organized. We let Dave pack it.
I can.
We'll just throw this here and throw that there.
Because here's what's going to happen. 2 years
later, we'll still have kids.
I could probably get away with putting a couple of my things in the old man's pole barn, but you know how he likes to shop.
I don't. I mean, if I'm going to be camping, I don't need anything.
Oh, what's Tim, explain real quick that campsite though. Remember you were looking at a campsite or something?
Yeah, that's what I was saying is that the closest one was seasonal.
So what's that mean?
That means you rent it for the whole season. During the
summer. Yeah.
You pay like, I don't know, $500-$600 and you get that site for the whole season, like May through October.
So it's not worry me is leaving anything valuable inside that camper if you left.
Well, I wouldn't be. I'd be traveling with the camper to and from. And that's the other thing is to make sure that they want that, because some seasonal places don't allow you to come in and out like that. It's like once you get it and you park it there, you got to leave it there. It just depends on what the rules are. But there are some other ones that were around as well. They just weren't as close. They were like 20, 25 minutes away, which is okay. But I mean, that's a long time to drive in the morning to get out there too.
We can park one of the campers at my parents, I'm sure.
Yeah. So we'll talk.
I'm worried about that. I'm not worried. Well, actually we should probably use your parents' bathroom actually. Cause if you don't have to dump anything, you should be fine. Right. I mean, basically we just use it for sleeping and storage. If we just the cook camper? Outside. Yeah, and use their bathroom for washing our hands or go in the bathroom shower, all that. Then you don't need the water, is all I'm getting at, and the sewer stuff. Right?
Right.
That's my point at the campsite. You can hook up the dirty water and the gray water and hook up the water and, you know.
Yeah, let me search again. Because if we're going all the way out near Jamie, I think there was one right by Jamie's house. There was a campground not far from that area. I was trying to find something closer to the property. And the closest one to the property is actually past the property, more west. And it was like 5 or 10 minutes away. And that was the seasonal one. There's other ones that are just as far as Jamie's parents' place. And I didn't really spend a lot of time researching those because they were a little farther.
I don't even know where we'd put a camper now, because where the guy used to put his camper is a pole barn or another hangar now. So I don't think you want to put it in the sand pit.
No, I'd put it right next to the garage if we could.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to say thank you for listening to the podcast. We're going to continue this conversation, but offline. So thank you guys. I don't want to waste too much time. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks to the supporters. And, you know, what's your dream hunt? We'd love to hear from you guys. Post your comment below on this video or audio and let us know, like, what would you do as a dream hunt? Was some of the things, would you share some of the ideas that we had, or would you have something completely different? So let us know, post below, share, like, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it's Dave from the Boner Planet Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please give it a like and a thumbs up. Share it with a friend and let's help build archery together. Also, special shout out to Dead Down Wind and Tinks for title sponsoring the show. And also all of our other great sponsors. You can find all of them in the link below on this podcast and or in video on YouTube, Facebook. There will be links below. Thanks for watching. We love you guys. Take care and be safe.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready for spring, San Antonio? Ready to explore the perfect mix of history, culture, and modern attractions for the whole family? Ready to experience the city's famous Riverwalk for unforgettable dining, shopping, and sightseeing? Ready for a one-of-a-kind San Antonio spring? Are you ready to be safe and travel responsibly so we can all enjoy the spring season together? Plan your trip at visitsanantonio.com today.